Hey, party people. Mama Soul here, the host of the podcast you're about to listen to. Let me just share a bit of a disclaimer. This interview was pre-COVID, in the time before Rona. Okay, so everything is copacetic, all good. Happy listening. Welcome to Life for Nikki FM, the podcast. I am your host, Mama Soul, and the streets of New York City are my studio. Life for Nikki FM will feature conversations with marvelous beings who are using their powers for good to enrich culture and move society forward. Life for Nikki FM is produced by SRL. Follow us on Instagram at SRL_NYC or email at SRLABSNYC@gmail.com. Original music is provided by MikeLMusic.com. That's M-I-C-E-L music.com. Listen to Mike L's music on all digital platforms and follow him on Instagram. To be a talker, you are the king of five words, and that's it.
Yeah,
no,
ten.
Oh, no, maybe 12.
But when I'm going in back and forth with people in a healthy debate about hip hop, I'm going in. Let's go.
Mama Soul here. Life in the Key of M. I'm not in the street today. I'm in a studio here. What studio is this?
Mercy Sound.
And who are you, sir?
My name is Cuss. Some people call me a kid named Cuss.
And why do they call you a kid named Cuss?
Stupidness.
Wait, oh, is this a name from childhood?
Yeah.
This is not for cussing anything, no? Because the only cuss I know is Customato. Really? They call you Customato?
There's no other cuss in the world.
So, how many studios do you have here?
In this studio, there's four in this building. We have three rooms.
Three rooms, okay.
Which is three.
Cuss, what do you do?
I'm an engineer.
You're an engineer. What kind of engineer are you, sir?
Recorded. Okay. You can call it audio or sound, whatever.
Okay.
So I record and mix music.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning I record it and then I fine-tune it to make sure all the frequencies of music is comfortable in your ears when you receive it.
So when you say ready on the right, ready on the left, that's you. You're making sure that...
All collectively, as far as the levels of everything, every instrument, every voice, all the frequencies that you hear,
mm-hmm.
the bass, the mid, the highs, everything.
See now?
It's comforting to you.
Okay. So, EQ, mm-hmm. right? So, your role...
Equalization.
Look at you. Thank you. Equalization. Your role is to EQ audio. Is that part
Basically,
of it?
Yeah, that's part of fine-tuning. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How do you EQ the studio? I mean, sitting in the studio right now, and you have soundproofing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because why? Why do you need soundproofing in a studio?
A studio is not necessarily supposed to be a square or a rectangle such as a bedroom.
Oh.
Because sound bounces off everything. So you're really supposed to have it looking like somewhat of a trapezoid.
Oh, man, he hit us with the math. Google a trapezoid, people. Okay.
That's one of the problems people have with putting a studio in their bedroom, because the bedroom is a square or a rectangle, but mainly like a square room. The sound's bouncing all weirdly.
As opposed to bouncing as a cone, like to make it look...
Well, it just has... The room has to be treated properly,
mm-hmm.
and it has to be built properly.
Mm-hmm.
So the sound can bounce around properly the way it hits your ears. Like, one song may, as you're working on it, if you're in a square room, it'll sound different from when you're in a room like this that's treated properly.
How did you make your way to being an engineer, becoming an engineer?
I started DJing. I DJed from 87 to 97.
Okay.
And I was...
Under what name?
It was still Cuss.
You were still Cuss?
DJ
okay.
Cuss Lover. But it was still Cuss. But I think anybody who... Most people I know who have done things creatively in music all started out as DJs.
Mm. Okay.
Because at one point in hip-hop, and it still is, but it's not widely known. At one point in hip-hop, the DJ was the pivotal individual. right. as far as hip-hop music. Right. As far as the entire culture, hip-hop, period. The DJ was the guy. Mm-hmm. You know, everything was centered around the DJ. Everything. And so everybody, you know, aspired to be that. So I was a DJ from, like I said, from 87 to 97. And during that time, I became an aspiring artist. Along with my brother, we had a group.
And oh, wait, hold on. What was the name of the group? You can't just say, oh, we had a group, and then don't drop names. Come on.
The name of the group was L.A.T.
Okay.
Right? And so I was already in high school for electrical / computer engineering.
Okay.
And after I finished high school, as opposed to going to a school for electrical engineering, I went to a community college for recording engineering, mm-hmm. which I figured, let me just do this real quick because I'm already in the studio. Mm-hmm. And me saying to myself, I was like, maybe I can engineer my sessions if I go learn this craft, which I did. Mm-hmm. And then after I graduated, it was hard to get me back into school to finish.
Oh, because then you were out.
Electrical engineering, because I was already out.
Doing, working.
I was already in the studio.
Okay. What was the first studio that you worked in?
Power Play Studios.
Wow.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's where I started. I started Power Play in 93.
Wow. As an intern. Did you have the intern-y kinds of jobs, or did they really trust you to
shadow, I mean,
and do some stuff?
Everybody does the intern stuff. You carry equipment. You set up equipment. You're running to the store for people. You putting cables together, you're troubleshooting, you're all that stuff. You're answering phones, you're doing everything under the light as an intern. Mm. But I kind of, Power Play was already on its down slope when I got there.
Okay.
So as great as Power Play was, a lot of the greatness has gone by the time I made it there.
Gotcha.
Which was unfortunate, but then fortunately for me, since it was on its down slope, I had time to get in the rooms.
Right, you had more time. Okay, hang out, play, and do things.
I was able to practice, put up a 2-inch reel, and I was able to practice mixing.
Ooh, reel to reel.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that song by Pooba. I like that song. That's good. That's dope. That's a dope track. Wow, so you said reel to reel, so that's analog business. Yes. I don't see any reels in here.
No more.
Okay, all real gone.
Yeah, no one has time for that. And
Adrian Young has time for that. That's his thing.
Okay, that's cool.
That's
all suckers for convenience and economics.
True. What was the first session artist that you worked on where the record was put out? Like, you have credits?
Yeah.
Okay.
As an assistant engineer, the first thing I ever got put on as an assistant engineer was the It Ain't Hard to Tell remix by Nas.
Excuse me. I'm going to put down the recorder for a minute, and I need to just take a moment. Straight up.
Are you finished with your moment?
No. No, I'm not.
Yeah, that was pretty
dope. That's sweet. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It ain't the remix. Ain't Hard to Tell.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was put on other sessions as an intern, just hanging around and doing whatever, but the first session I ever got put on as an assistant engineer, like you're the assistant to the engineer, was that session.
So you're sitting in the studio while this record is being
mixed.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts? What is your thought about the record? You're hearing this thing.
Well, Nas just came out, and Nas was the second coming of Christ at that moment. So it was like, wow, I'm in the studio just working on a Nas joint. This is dope.
Right, because this was live after Live at the Barbecue when he first dropped.
Large Professor was there. He produced the song. He produced the remix. And just being in the studio with Professor, even though I've been in the studio with him prior to that as an intern, just being there was like, yo, this is crazy.
Did you think that record?
I didn't get credit on the record, by the way.
Oh, that's terrible.
I didn't get credit as an assistant. A lot of times assistants weren't getting credit. Sometimes they were, sometimes we just weren't.
Did you think that single, or that album, that project, or Nas as an artist will really blow? Yeah, yes, The Second Coming, but...
No, I didn't think... Ironically, I did a session with Nas a couple of years ago, and that's one of the conversations we had.
Wow.
Was that I was like, I didn't think you were going to be as big as you were at all. I thought you were going to be an underground king. Mm. I didn't think you were going to do platinum and multi-platinum and be...
Be an Ivy League.
I just thought he was going to...
Schools.
I just thought he was going to be everyone's underground hero.
Mm.
Forever. I did not see any sort of commercial success at all for him.
And now this man is dropping the lost tapes. Yeah. And, you know, Ivy League campuses with museums and archives. Yes. And restaurateur. Wow. When you're mixing a record, right, where do you begin? What do you start with? Do you start with instrumentation? Do you start with the vocals? Does it vary based on the project?
I would normally start with drums, especially the kick, because people don't realize that's the vast majority of the time, that's the loudest sound on a record, is the kick. Mm. Even though you may not realize it, it is. Mm. Like, if you look at the LED lights or the VU lights as how hard it's hitting, if you mute the kick, you see it. It's not going to be hitting that hard. Mm. The rest of the song. Mm-hmm. But the kick has it doing that. So the kick is normally the loudest part of the song. So I would create a master fader on Pro Tools, and I'll start with the kick so I can see how hard my song is going to be hitting from after I level the kick and start to EQ it and add compression to it or whatever else, and then everything else will fall in line around that.
We're in the studio now. Mm-hmm. How many tracks? It's a multi-track studio. How many tracks on this board?
Well, this controller.
Because the controller, and then you have the software that expands.
Right. Controller has 32 channels. Uh-huh. It's actually 4-in-1, so it's 8 per. So it's 32, but you can have endless tracks. This can be 1 through 8, 9 through 16, and so forth, and then this can be 33 through 40, and so forth.
Lord have mercy.
Yes. Yeah, so okay. Since we have HD system, we can go up to 192.
How do you keep track of?
You don't.
Okay, most memorable session that you engineered. If you have to change the names to protect the guilty and the innocent, please do. And what made that session so memorable? If you can come up with a story without violence, that would be great. All right, his face has a very pained expression on it, ladies and gentlemen. Okay.
I'll say something that was memorable. Okay. I don't know if it was the most memorable, but I remember the story. Working with a producer named Domingo. Domingo was that guy. Working with one of his artists, and Domingo has done production for KRS-One.
Okay.
So KRS was going to do him a favor and come spit a verse on his artist's song. He wasn't signed. He was just trying to get buzz, whatever. They were going to put a single out, whatever the case is. So we're at Unique.
Oh, wow. That's another legendary.
We're upstairs on the 9th floor. KRS is on the 8th floor in his session. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, okay, just wait until my session's over. When my session's over, I'll come upstairs and I'll lay a verse for you. So we're sitting around.
Hours.
Maybe a couple hours waiting for him to finish. He finally comes upstairs. He says what's up to everybody, and they have very small chat for like 2 minutes. And he goes, so what do we have here? And they're like, cuss play the beat. I hit play on the 2-inch.
On the 2-inch reel.
Right. I hit play. Chris listens to the beat literally for like 8 seconds. And he's just sitting there bobbing his head. And he goes, I got something for that. He runs to the booth. And he's in there. He's like, mic check. I'm about to get wrecked. You got a level? I'm like, yeah. Like, let's go. And he spits a verse, a 16-bar verse, one take. And then he says, you know what? Mute that for a second and give me another track. So I mute that track, give him another track. He spits another 16-bar verse, one take. Comes out the booth. And gives everybody pounds and says, you pick which one you want, and leaves. He wasn't there for more than 10 minutes, and that's including the 5 minutes of small talk and, hey, what's up, what's going on with you guys? 2 verses and left. I said, you pick which one you want. And I'll never forget that. So even to this day, I see MCs struggling to do a verse. And I'll be sitting there like, y'all don't understand greatness. And some people be like, well, it takes time. I get that. I've witnessed greatness.
Because he didn't have a pad or a pen.
On an elite level. He didn't write it. He keeps stuff written in his book. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if you write that much, whatever beat is played, you should have something for it. He listens to the beat. He was like, I got something. Skimmed through his book, walked into the booth, spit it, spit another one. Pick which one you want. You can have either one. I'm leaving.
That's how everybody in the room
afterwards was sitting there like, what did we just witness?
Oh, that was sweet.
I'll never forget that.
That's a good one. The waiting in the studio. What is that like? Because for me now, when I go to events and working behind the scenes, it's the waiting that is such the takedown.
Don't waste my time. That's why it's a drag when you're waiting. But you book a 12 o'clock session, you show up at 5 o'clock, I'm on the clock for 5 hours. I've already made whatever my hourly rate is times 5 before you walked in.
When you're approaching a session, do you approach a session with a level of... You approach a session, what, is it excitement still?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes it's not. Sometimes, even though you may love what you do, it's a job, but it's... Sometimes you're completely removed from it. Like, I don't care how the song comes out. Okay. We're going to try it like this. Okay. But that's from... You've been doing it for so long and you just... Excitement is there sometimes.
Okay.
But then sometimes it's like, you're over it. And you get over it quick. And you don't get too involved personally because you don't want to get married to a project. There's a chance the project may not come out.
Oh, and then it's hard. Oh.
I worked on this project for 8-9 months and it's not even coming out. I got paid handsomely for it, but it would have been great for this to see the light of day.
So you have to have a level of detachment because you could really go mental.
You chalk it up like it's the industry. Welcome to the industry, whatever.
But now the internet has been a great leveler. So a lot of folks, I mean, sometimes I wish for the four record companies coming because they were a filter. Yes. And I think as the filter, as an audience, we marinated on the material a lot more. Our listening to stuff is different now. Way different. Yeah. How we discover. I don't know. There's so much. A lot of it is wonderful. A lot of it
is
not.
Very true. So to me, it's a gift and a curse.
Absolutely. So, it's bittersweet.
Right.
What is your favorite tool of the trade right now? What makes it easier? One. What tool makes it easier? And then what is your favorite tool to use as part of your job as an engineer?
Well, I don't know if I'm answering this question right. I utilize Pro Tools, that's the digital audio stage workstation I use. I don't know if that answers the question properly, though.
No, that's a tool.
Yeah.
I mean, because you have others. So you have, what, Ableton? And is that the same as Pro Tools? Or is that something different?
Very similar, but it's a different program. So Pro Tools is probably the most universal program that most people use. But then you have, like you said, Ableton, you have... DigiPerformer, you have Nuendo, you have Cakewalk, you have Logic, Fruity Loops, you have a whole bunch of GarageBand.
Mm-hmm.
You got a whole bunch of different sources to record on, but Pro Tools is more than likely the most universal one. But I know it like the back of my hand, so I'm able to, like, when somebody sent me a session in Logic numerous times to mix it, and it's like, I'll convert this to Pro Tools so I can just zip through it quicker, you know, instead of trying to figure out this in Logic. I know Logic a little bit, but not like that.
Do you play instruments?
I used to play piano.
Okay.
A long time ago.
What happened?
Well, I mean, piano lessons were Friday night and I was hitting puberty. So I was like, I want to hang out. And you know, such and such is on the way over here to teach piano. Oh, goodness gracious. Like, he used to make, I had a piano in my house growing up, so he would come to my house and teach.
Oh, man. Came to the door and it's still, now I want to go out. Like,
yeah. Friday? 7 p.m.? Come on. There's no telling what I'm doing at Friday, and I got to stop what I'm doing and make it home for this lesson?
Oh, my God. Favorite musician. Doesn't matter the genre, but who do you enjoy to this day? For pleasure, for shits and giggles, when you're in a mood?
My favorite male artist would probably be Prince.
Okay.
My favorite female artist would probably be Tina Marie. There's a whole bunch of them that I love. Isaac Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
It's way too many.
I just caught Brian Jackson not too long ago.
I don't know who that is.
He was Gil Scott-Heron's writing partner.
I didn't know that.
Their voices sound so similar.
Really?
Very sound. You close your eyes and you're like, oh my God, that's Gil. Crazy. Winter in America, when he sang that, I just closed my eyes because I had to.
Yeah, because the ears don't lie.
Man.
I don't hang out in New York.
Well, you don't hang out at all. You don't hang out in New York.
I stopped hanging out in New York decades ago, literally. But I no longer hang out, honestly.
What were your spots when you said
we talked about the Muse.
Both locations. Okay.
Both locations. Uh-huh. Red Zone.
On Thursday nights?
Yes. And then they have too many fights, so they made it Monday nights. Which, I don't remember if they started on Mondays, and there's just too many fights, so they changed it to Thursdays. And of course, the Muse. We used to go to Sticky Mike's.
Yes.
Played nothing but reggae.
Yes.
What else?
Sticky Mike, yeah. good.
I didn't really care for the tunnel, but yeah, I went to the tunnel. I didn't really care for the tunnel.
Nah, I wasn't a fan.
The speakers sucked. So I used to bother my ears every time I'd be in there. Badly.
Even if you stuffed them? Well, what's the point?
The speakers were was tuned so jacked up in there. Them playing all that loud music was destroying my ears. I need to save my ears for this.
Because you were in the studio working then. Good. How do you protect your ears?
Well, you could wear plugs. Oh, there's ways you can move to avoid hearing loud music. Like if I'm out and about, you can do something like this to avoid loud music.
So you're leaning to the side. You're leaning to the side and backwards.
Because sound is physical, and so sitting like this, it hits you head on. It's coming to you like this. But if the music is loud, all you got to do is do this, and it won't be as loud.
So then we should be leaning back at all concerts then. Basically, should be standing. We should. Yeah. We all should be laying down when we go to a concert.
Like this. Yeah. Or you can just do this. You can just do this, and it won't be as loud.
So he's putting a finger behind his earlobe, and then...
It'll protect you.
Are you pressing down? Are you pressing in a little bit? No? Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wowzer.
And it'll protect you. It won't be as loud. Trust me.
Hold on. I gotta keep... That's a life hack. How do you manage yourself in sessions where you're like, yo, this artist is just straight trash?
Yeah, but happens all the time.
Okay.
Half the time, maybe more. And that's why I don't get married to it. I don't get too much into, yo, this is dope. Because then you can always, the flip side is always, yo, this sucks.
But they're not here for your opinion. They're here for...
Right, but I look like them and dress like them.
So do they ask you?
And a lot of times I'm their age. See, back
then. But
days,
then that's you being a producer. Then you need to get credit.
Truth. Mm-hmm. I produce a lot of records. I mean... Part of the problem with music today is that the producer's not present. The producer's not in the session. That's, to me, one of the biggest problems in music today, is that the producer's not in the session. Somebody sends you a track and you write to it and go and to record it. It doesn't make you the producer. You're not necessarily trying to play the role of the producer, but you become it. Somebody sent you something, they live in Kansas. They sent it to you, you live in Detroit. And you guys are back and forth. You try it like this, try it like this. It's not the same as far as human energy in the same room.
Bruh.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, you're good. Come on in. I'm good.
Yeah, take your time.
Yeah. Okay.
Me, 1 second, Logic.
Thank you. Check out A Kid Named Cuss on Twitter. Listen to Life in the Key of M, the podcast, on anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Radio Public, and SoundCloud. Come on, be marvelous and subscribe. Tell a friend to do the same.